Well, I would say Schubert's Winterreise is probably the masterpiece, not only of his lead work, but maybe of the whole entire universe of lead music. It's really, really very, very dark and depressive and very strong. But I think it's fantastic. It's perfection, pure perfection, the way he describes it. As you may know, Schubert has a different language, musical language, than many other composers had. He gives you a lifeline and nothing more than that. He doesn't give you an entire boat to float along the river. It's just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. And all the rest you have to do on your own. So you know you're always in safe waters, but you have to swim yourself. And I think that it's so unique. It makes it very difficult. And I have to say, I struggled when I was a student with Schubert only because I felt so left alone. But then I realized it's actually an advantage. It's fantastic to have this whole bunch of possibilities in interpretation. You have to fill it up. You are the one you have to give your personal interpretation to it to make it actually real and make it happen and make it live and make it live and make it a success. And that's what used to be a downside when I was a youngster, because I was afraid of being exposed so much, turned out to be actually a very good thing. And in this cycle, I mean, it's all done in such a perfection. And well, also having a pianist like Helmut Deutsch, who has such a huge experience in it, and he has played with all the great singers, and I think with Hermann Prey alone, he did many, many, many concerts of Winterreise, and he was one of the great interpreters of this cycle. So you have somebody who has seen everything, who has done everything, and still is curious in finding something new. So I think a fantastic combination of experience and being open-minded. Therefore, I think it was really worth trying, and I think we succeeded quite good.
And you've answered almost every question that I had.
Oh, no, don't there. Say that. I'm sure you're coming up with some more.
I'm curious, you mentioned knowing this piece in your student days. You grew up just a few hours' drive from Vienna. Did you listen to Schubert or even sing Schubert when you were young? What's your earliest memory of this music?
Well, yes. I mean, some of these songs by people like Schubert or Brahms or Schumann, they ended up in the so-called folk song, common folk song memory of our society, and therefore some of are treated as lullabies and. Or you sing it when you were in I joined the choir when I was 5 years old. So from that moment on, I was actually doing only this kind of stuff. Mm. But the most popular song of this cycle is actually the Lindenbaum, the Linden Tree, where I always think it's been treated badly. By being interpreted by so many choirs and other sorts of interpretations that would never fulfill what actually Schubert's intention was, other than, for instance, Die Forelle, the trout. You know, that's something that he actually started, and he wrote a quintet on it, and he wrote several different. He wrote actually, I think, 6 or 7 versions of this one song. But with the Lindenbaum, there's only this one song in this lead cycle, and I'm sure he wouldn't be happy to see how this became a popular, actually very positive, mild song in a which used to be in a context actually quite frightening, maybe by someone who is in deep depression and thinking about committing suicide.
Rauschen, du fängst.
I wonder if you can talk a little bit also about what I think is the most haunting song, and that is the last song, the Layaman. And when you sing it, I notice that you seem to be holding back a little bit. You seem to be singing all the strophes, the verses, kind of restrained until the very last note or the last phrase when you have the word drain.
Yeah, you see, restrained is maybe the wrong word. The thing is, it's the first song, or the only song, where we are no longer in reality. Mm. Because when you think about all the text that he's saying, it's always realistic scenes. Yes, he makes up something. He talks about the river being like his heart because it's frozen, and underneath is the water still flowing and even wilder than maybe in summer because it's under that harness. And many, many other occasions where he describes nature and compares it with himself or whatever it is. I mean, for me, the most impressive song, I would say, is the Wirtshaus, when he also the title only, to call it Wirtshaus, like a shack or a pub or something, to where you go and have a beer and can get a room for the night. And it's actually a cemetery where he's going to. So he's calling for a free room in a tomb. So it's incredible, all these things. But you are still with this person. You are still with him. And all this, nothing of that is something you would say, well, he's making it up. I mean, he sees it and it's his world. Okay. But then at the very end, also only Schubert's accompaniment there is so monotone and so unreal. And then he's talking about this guy at the other end of the village. Look at him. He's over there. I can see him. And he's going on. And no one takes notice. No one except of me can see this man. This is very strange. And then he suddenly talks to the person. He says it's at the other end of the village. And the next sentence is, hello, old guy. I wondered, is it okay if I could accompany you, if I could come with you and we could sing these songs together? And it's impossible. He doesn't describe that I'm walking over there and that I talk to him. No, it's just he's suddenly there, and it seems to be a ghost. It seems to be death himself that he sees in front of him. And that's why I think my interpretation is so soft or so reduced, unreal. And then at the end, it's actually like a cry. I mean, it's written like this. It's always piano. It's always piano when the singer is with a pianist together. But then suddenly there's a big crescendo when he says meine Leier drehen, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- outbreak of energy before death. And like you see when, you know, the typical things like Traviata, who says, oh, but I can see light and I feel free and I have no more pain and it's great. And then she collapses and is dead. I mean, this typical idea of that something is, you are suddenly right before death, you are freed from all materialistic burden or something. It's all only soul, and that's what I see there, and that's why I interpret it in that way. But I totally agree. It's one of the absolute masterpieces in this cycle.
Soll ich mit dir gehen? Willst du meinen Liedern tanzen?
Jonas Kaufmann, thank you for spending some time with us here on FM 91.
My pleasure. Thank you.